with Mo. My name is Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people over at julieland.com. Today, as always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Richard Avery.
Hello, hello, hello.
Today on More with Mo, we're going to be talking about television shows, our favorites, what we like, what we don't like, what ones went on too long. My guest today is a director in the adult industry, the guy that signs my checks, and a personal friend, Mr. Andre Madness. Welcome, hey. Andre.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, Andre, we've known each other for a number of years now.
A lot of years.
And because it gets tiring talking about porn all the time, you know, we watch TV like most people.
Absolutely.
So, over the years, there's been some great TV that we started watching. So, let's start off with, what are some of your favorite TV shows of all time, not just current?
Of all time, I think I've seen pretty much all of the Law and Orders, both SVU, Criminal Intent, just over the years. Battlestar Galactica, introduced to me by you. Watched the hell out of that. Let's see. And then, of course...
The original Battlestar?
No, actually, it was the newer one. I did watch the original one years ago.
That was the best.
Yeah. No, I got introduced to the new one, and I was surprisingly... I was really impressed. Mm. Really impressed. Because when Mo first started with me, he used to refer to me as the old man. And I think it was about 37 at the time.
I would have punched him.
My age that I am now.
I wanted to beat his head in. And then
you
all of a sudden, later on, he showed me the Battlestar Galactica, and I saw it was in term of, you know, reverence, and I was like, oh, okay, I can take that. It wasn't an insult anymore.
Right.
But once I
saw say we all.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I love that.
Yeah, I did watch it as well. I was into it.
I really enjoyed the new version. I grew up with the young with the older version, and it was cool to see Richard Hatch come back for the second as a totally different character. But I really enjoyed. I thought it was written very well, and it ran for such a long period of time of actual time, but only being about six seasons. I think it really wrapped itself up. Very well. I think it did very well for itself. So
I like sci-fi shows to begin with, and that was a good one.
Now, you mentioned Law & Order, and I watched a lot of Law & Order, and I never got into the other ones. I watched the main Law & Order, but what I liked about the show is it was easy to watch. You go through, there was some sort of crime, then it went through the police department, then it went into the into the legal part, and then it was wrapped up at the end, and it was nice, tidy bow at the end. It was all taken care
of. That's
it.
Everyone stand alone. Just beginning, middle, and end. You didn't have to watch a series.
But you knew how it was always going to end. I can't watch shows like that because you always know like they're going to end. You know it's going to get solved and resolved and they're going to jail. Whoop-de-doo. Like, we know we know from point A to point B.
Well, that's what's been surprising lately because I don't know. I feel like it's not necessarily a happy road at the end always. I mean, sometimes things work out. Sometimes they don't work out. And I dig that whole... You know, is this one going to work? I don't know. Or what creative... Did this possibly happen?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty messed up.
All those kind of shows, like those kind of shows and like CSIs and all those kind of shows, I just can't... I can't even watch for 5 minutes.
Well, see, I watched House for a period of time. And what I liked about House is the exact same thing. I mean, he was sarcastic. I enjoyed the character. But it was the same thing... That it starts here, goes here, bam, bam, bam. It's
formula.
Cancer. No, it's not cancer. It's cancer. And then it ends up in some sort of mysterious disease. There's some other plot line that goes through
formula.
The season. Exactly. But I find that easy to watch. So when I'm doing other things. So that's what I wanted to bring up is we watch a lot of the same shows on, say, AMC or Showtime. So shows like Breaking Bad, Battlestar Galactica, which is both are now gone, but The Walking Dead, Mad Men. These are shows that are not the same formula as typical network television.
Do you watch any of the FX shows like Justified, Sons of Anarchy?
I watched the Justified.
So good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I watched Sons of Anarchy, which I really like.
Love Sons of Anarchy.
And I followed that. And then before that was Nip Tuck,
right.
Which was one of the early... Hey, we're going to throw out something different on a cable network where it showed nudity or where it showed, you know, adult situations that, I mean, some of the shit was fucking hot. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go bang twins now.
Yeah, I know.
What? And we see twins. We see hot twins.
Julie McMahon really did a great job in that series.
It was a really solid series. And I think shows like, say, The Sopranos definitely opened the door to where we are today with having these, you know, even though the seasons are so short, I mean, we're talking about 10, 12, sometimes 14 episodes. They tell a story that is 10 times better than what's on a network show that takes 24 episodes.
Right. I was just going to say, that's what I love about British television. If you look, they call them series. Their series on the average is 10 episodes. They do everything in 10. And that's what I do as well. I like 10. You get 10 great episodes and then start the next season whenever, but it's like 24, like really?
Yeah, definitely it trims the fat out of those type of shows. But even with that, there are certain shows that go on too long. So, Andre, out of the shows you've watched in, say, the past decade, are there any of the shows that you watch that you think have just drug themselves out too long?
Oh, great question. Well, I do get a little tired of the Law and Order after a while. It's one of those things where I just kind of like play it in the background for going to sleep time. And now they've got new characters and some of the...
There's been like 100 actors gone through that show.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like, oh, well, I've seen it. Or Criminal Minds, which I've watched the hell out of that as well. I know. I got into this weird...
Do you like the law, the murder scenes?
It wasn't so much that. I definitely have desensitized myself to a lot of whatever it is they're going through. And I don't know if that's great, but living in L.A., I could use it. So.
Exactly. Isn't Ice-T on one of those?
Yeah, he is. What? He's on Law and Order.
I thought he came on and... And he was such a, you know, he was the gangster rapper. He was such a, now he plays a cop.
I asked him, the last time I saw him, I asked him, because I've known him for years, was I said to him, like, do you prefer doing music or Law and Order? And he was like, I love acting more. It's a lot easier. I get paid a hell of a lot more. And I get to be home. And, you know, he's, you know, it's just easier.
Go in, do your job, and then you leave. Yeah,
that's why all these.
And there's a hiatus.
Yeah.
So, speaking of that, I mean, you watch a lot of criminal shows. So, you know. You think about shows with cops, with you know, all the CSI,
Hill Street Blues,
Hill Street. Okay, let's not go back that far there.
Adam 12. I watch Adam 12 on Me Channel.
Car 54. Where are you? Are we really going this far back? Dragnet.
Exactly. On Me TV. Do you know what Me TV is? It's the best channel ever. It's on my cable. It's channel 137. It's called Me TV. They show nothing but old shows. Everything.
Contact your cable provider for local listings.
Yeah, but they show like. Everything from Partridge Family to like every Dragnet, Adam 12, Make Room for Daddy, like all the old shows. I think this channel's like geared towards anybody over the age of 65.
So what they were trying to do was say Nick at Night.
Like last night they showed the original movie, pilot / movie, which is like 2 hours long, for the TV show Vegas. You remember Vegas with Robert Urich? So last night they showed the pilot, 2 hour pilot, like movie 1972 or wherever it was made.
That's funny.
So I'm watching Robert Urich, who's sad to say is dead now, but great. I'm just going to go in Vegas.
See, I had Nick at Night when I was younger, and so I watched The Patty Duke Show, Dobie Gillis. I mean, it was all the late night, and then 11 o'clock, it was Laugh-In'.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was a kid, and this was old for me, but I found it to be entertaining because it was bright and colorful, right. And I was staying up late, and there was Goldie Hawn. So, but where I was going to go is with the network TV, and when you deal with these criminal shows, CSI, people are violently killed. But what we don't see in the network is necessarily the violence. Whereas opposed to, say, on AMC, where we see Breaking Bad, you actually see the violence. You see everything go down. You see the bullets. You see the people shot. You see the carnage afterwards. Whereas on network, we don't. Do you think that the violence and the adult situations and maybe even the nudity, which some shows do have, adds to the value of the shows on, say, cable? Or do you think it's over the top? Or do you think that affects your viewing pleasure of those kind of shows versus a network show?
Well, I personally do love AMC, and I like all the stuff they throw out on their programming. So, yeah, I do think I tend to lean more towards, if there's something on AMC that I like, do that more than the effects show or something. Because of the details and the you know.
Oh, he wants to see a naked girl.
I don't know. Is there nudity on AMC? I haven't seen
it. Not yet.
I mean, every so often we see a little bit of stuff here and there.
Might see a butt.
Yeah, like Sopranos, of course. You got the bada bing and everybody's nude. So
yeah, Sopranos was so good.
Sopranos was a great show, and I came into it really late, and I ended up watching on DVD. Like
which is awesome because you just marathon it up.
Yeah. Do you watch Homeland at all?
Oh, yeah. I'm caught up on Homeland, too.
I think Homeland, like my friend said it best. He said Homeland is like... Is there like a, I don't, I'm not, the first season was amazing. And since then it's like, my friend said it's best. It's like, it's just a really glorified show that could be on CBS. I kind of might agree with him. I think that's what it is.
There was a show called Sleeper Cell a few years back.
That was good.
Wasn't it?
My friend was on that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I loved it. What was your friend?
He was one of the terrorist blonde, no hair kid.
Oh, yeah.
That is an amazing description.
Because there was like the four cell.
There was only four of them, and there was only one blonde kid. Yeah. And he was awesome. I remember him taking truck driving lessons, and there was one line there about how he put his thumbs in the wrong position, and the guy who's teaching him how to drive a truck said, you're going to break your thumbs off if you hit a curb. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, that's true, you know? So I like the little truisms in certain things. It's like, oh.
That was a good show, though. That was a really good show, though.
Oh, yeah. Season one was pretty amazing. Yeah. Season two, fell off. You're right. Things just do. Sometimes
but because what happens, I think, a lot of times in these shows, I think it's a lot of shows, that first season, like Homeland, they work the whole story, the angle and everything. And then like they're afraid to kill off, which they should have, the characters. And because then they, oh, we don't have a season two. And it's hard for, I get, you know, you have to understand why TV does that. My philosophy has always been, I wish they would kill the guy off and then have a second season and bring the guy back. And people would be like, wait a minute, you killed him off. And they'd be like, wait a minute, stupid, this is television. It's not real. You know, like.
Well, you know, American Horror Story actually did a good job of doing something like that, where they totally changed their show. The first season is one whole thing about a haunted house. Well, they brought back some of the same actors for the second season in a totally different setup.
Right.
So you saw it was basically you have a cast of actors that we're going to just reuse and try again. And it was done very well.
What I was talking about, the quality of a show like Skins out of England. Again, they had this cast, and the first two seasons was this cast in high school, basically. And then they graduate. So what they did is, instead of trying to, like, oh, let's like a 90210 where they try to hang on to these people forever, Skins just said, season three, all new cast for two seasons. And then season five was all new cast. And it just worked. People's first reaction was, oh, why are you doing this? But it worked because as soon as people got used to that, two seasons with this cast, two seasons with that cast, then everybody got into it because they wanted to wait for who the new characters were. So I always tell people, like, they gotta. I always say, like, I'm sure there's always that fan who's going to go, oh, that you killed off my character. Well, so what? It's an actor. It's a character. Like, well, let's get hooked onto a new one.
Well, Walking Dead is definitely the people
exactly.
They take no prisoners. It's like you don't know who's off next. It could be anyone.
Yeah, that's a pretty suspenseful.
No spoilers for anyone.
No,
that's a great case. It's a brilliant show, and they're, you know, in a sense, their idea is bigger than the characters. The world that it's set in is bigger than the characters that they have.
Now, with The Walking Dead, obviously the zombie aspect is definitely different from anything else out there. But what I wanted to discuss is about how we seem to be recently, and I would say in the past decade, maybe a little longer, we root for the bad guy. And this seems to have started with The Sopranos. And now you look at every show.
You root for them. I think you just have more empathy.
But when that's possible. Yeah. And then
because you undersee them as people.
Well, I mean, we have it repeatedly now. We have Breaking Bad.
Right.
You know, kingpin of drug lord, you know, oh, but he has cancer. It's okay. We'll let him off with this. Dexter, he kills everyone, but he only kills the bad guys. So that's okay. Nurse Jackie, well, she's a good nurse, but she can pop pills. You know. Don Draper on Mad Men.
Yeah, he's a
womanizer.
Pig.
He's a horror, but we root for him because we like him. You know, Weeds. You know, he goes, well, I had to take care of my house because we're gonna sell drugs. Now we're gonna kill people and sell drugs. Why do we root for the bad people? And why are we okay with that?
I think it's the good writing and good direction and good stories that you connect with this. Once you connect with a character, no matter if they're good, bad, or indifferent, I think is that you connect with that character. Then you emotionally invest in them, and then you watch them grow.
Who's your favorite bad guy character?
Oh gosh,
that's a good guy.
A bad guy that's a good guy. Well, that is since Breaking Bad just ended, I'd probably go with Walt.
I've never watched one episode of that show.
Well, you know, I started I think a little late too. It was probably one or two seasons.
Yeah, you started a few seasons.
Yeah, where Mo's like, maybe you should try, because I finished a series,
right?
And then Mo says, oh well, try this one. Now, I can't invest into too many because there's
quite
a number.
Like, it's a lot too much to watch.
I've watched a series of Sons of Anarchy, but I know a lot of the characters personally are people that work in them. You know, we work with them constantly. So I'm like, oh, well, I'll hold off on that one. At some point, I'll probably watch it and go, wow, that's amazing. But for the most part, I just...
The character I always tell people I like is Don Draper. Mm-hmm. But I always say I would love them, when the show ends, I want them to do a series of Don Draper in today's time Because you know he'd be like about 70-something years old, probably like alone in a house, just angry with everybody. His kids don't visit him anymore. They don't like him.
You know, do like a lost flash forward for an episode.
Drunk and just angry because all his dick doesn't work. And he's just all like...
mush.
Exactly. He's, like, he's just this angry old guy going, yeah, I had ideas back in the 60s. Like, you know,
the same,
he's like,
the same apartment that he's in rent control with. Yeah,
exactly. He's just this total loser because it's like his kids, grandkids don't even want to talk to him because he's cheated on his all his wives. He's been married like 5 times. And, you know, because that's what I was saying. When I look at that show, I always think, where would those people be today? First of all, they'd be in their 70s.
And not as cool.
Yeah, no.
I've been noticing Alice. Remember the show Alice?
Yeah.
In the 70s? Oh, shit. She's been popping up in shows recently.
She's on...
Go on.
On his... What's his show on NBC that plays the mom? On... God, what's his name? It's a show on Thursday nights or whatever it is on NBC.
What's Michael name? J. Fox one.
No, the one before that. Sean.
Sean from Will and Grace.
Yeah. He plays his mom. What's her name? Please. Something Lavin.
Something Lavin.
And the show Flo, may not be on
this time around, too.
Yeah, did you just so, crazy actress died today, actually.
Oh, yes, from, what's her name?
Newhart.
She does the voice of Mrs. Krabappel on The Simpsons.
The Simpsons. I saw that.
It was very
she
sad.
Passed away today. Sad.
Well, now that you brought the show down. So you mentioned your Thursday night lineup now on NBC. Do you watch? Are you a Thursday night person?
No, I TiVo everything and watch whenever I can.
No,
I told you my favorite shows right now is anything Anthony Bourdain does,
which great is amazing.
I love what a hell of a career. Let's just go travel and I'll just talk to people.
He's like, I keep saying he's like
drink their beer.
I know he's like all he does is eat. When he dies, it's going to be like heart attack or you know his veins were clogged. Like
all he does is drink though, drink and smoke. That's how he stays so thin. It's nonstop.
He's gonna have a heart attack on his last episode.
I watched his first show that I know of. His first show was called The Cook's Tour that went on Food Network. Well, the show was good. And it was entertaining. It was cool to see all this stuff. And it was one of the first travel really where it got into, we're gonna try a bunch of different stuff. The book was so much better because he wrote the book as he was going along and is bashing on Food Network going, well, these assholes aren't going to let me put this in the show, things like that. You should really, and he goes, I wish I could do a real show where I could take all the stuff they cut out of this. And it was like, it was really entertaining. And that's where I got into his personality.
I think I always say he's the Brooke Burke of today. Cause remember Brooke Burke's Wild on E show.
So he Wild on Discovery Channel.
Nah, but I mean, that's the kind of shows I watch now. I think that I enjoy now is shows like that. Like, I do like the dramas. You know, comedies are not all that good anymore.
Yeah, comedies, I think, are dead. What about reality shows? Andre, any reality
shows? I love Survivor.
Is Survivor on anymore?
Yeah.
It is still on.
I've seen every series,
I stopped watching, like, probably about season 27 or whatever they were
Survivor's
at.
Good.
Where are they now? Like
some island somewhere, but I don't pay that much attention anymore. But I think reality is good for a couple shows. I did like Big Brother in the beginning, but these last couple seasons have been horrible.
They filmed it around the corner from my place, and you could drive by and see. There's the Big Brother set
in
there.
Studio City?
Yeah, in Studio City.
I know. Oh, I heard you have a conversation on set about all the places you go to. Oh, yeah, I go by the Brady Bunch house. Oh, yeah, down the street.
Oh, yeah, the Brady Bunch house is right around the corner from my place.
I tell you a funny story about the Big Brother. The first season of Big Brother, because it's on the lot. It's on the Ranford lot, right?
Yeah.
I was doing a shoot there, and we were talking to these people that worked on the lot, and they, you know, here there's the Big Brother people are locked in, and they can't see the outside world. So what people would do is they would write notes on tennis balls and then throw it over the fence. And we were like, that's a great idea. So we did. We wrote a little note. I forgot my assistant and I wrote some little thing on a tennis ball and threw it over the fence.
Throwing messages. Yeah, I never got into Big Brother. I was into Survivor. I've done some of the game shows, but in general, I'm more the cooking shows. I'm all about the MasterChef, the Hell's Kitchen, not so much the...
Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah, Kitchen Nightmares. Not Top Chef. I'm not,
Top Chef is the best.
I'm not into
that.
It.
Is my religion. Top
there's
Chef
that,
is
there's
the best.
There's Chopped, which that guy from the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, the food guy, he kind of annoys me, so I couldn't do it.
I remember, again... First years, we'd go out to eat somewhere different all the time, and Mo would have this critique of all his food. It was too funny. We'd go to like this little Filipino joint down the road, right? And he'd go, "What's that in the blood? I'll try that. You know, just
Blue, would you think you were Gordon Ramsay?
No, I didn't know. And so I'm willing to eat pretty much anything. I'll be like, "And oh, what's that over there? Well, that's such and such in pig's blood." Now, I'm not going to tell the nice Filipino lady, yeah, I'm white. I don't eat that shit. Yeah. I'm like, huh, okay, I'll give that a try. And then I go over and make sure I'm facing the opposite direction and then eat it, and because in case it's really bad and I can hide it somewhere. Alex criticizes me of this as too. She goes, "Do you have to analyze every single food that you put in your mouth?" Yes.
Because I would say, because I there might be a camera around and they're like filming my review.
This could be it.
I could have it in my own show. Yes, exactly. My own cooking show next.
I just remember all the little details. Oh, that's tart. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, it's smooth, though, as it goes down. I really enjoy the flavor. Oh,
wait, so do you watch any of the cooking shows? Are you a Food Network person?
You know, Anthony Bourdain is, every now and then, I'll catch him on
You got to watch this last one he just did on South Africa. It was really cool. I think the next one tomorrow night is on Tokyo, which I'm looking forward to.
Again, what an amazing career. What a great job that guy has.
Like I said, I think it's great. I would love to do it, but I know from experience in production, like, I would say those shows, it's like you think they just get to leisurely do. No, but they're like, okay, we got to shoot this scene. Now let's move on to the next. You don't get to leisurely do anything because they only have like a couple days in a city. So they got everything planned.
Sure.
And
but,
it's like,
but during that time when they're filming, it sure looks lackadaisical. Like they're having fun, and I just want to be there.
I watched one from season one of last season's on CNN. It was the one he did in the Congo, which was just insane. All I can think about is like, how many flights do you have to get stuck on? And I'm sure he's flying first class to get to these places.
Oh, it's got to be nonstop, just living in airports. I mean, I don't think they do the private jet route either. I think they fly commercial.
Yeah, fly their equipment, then they go meet it.
Yeah. Like fly the crews. I don't know, but it's like that's when I watch anything though. I always think about production, so I'm always thinking like, oh man, what is it going? How many people they got working on this? And da-da-da-da.
Has that ruined it for you?
Yes and no. On some things, yes and no. It's like we talked about yesterday about magic. Like once you know how the trick is done, it kind of waters things down a bit. You know, I always tell people like, and that's the thing working in TV and entertainment. Then you see how things are done, and you direct produce. So when you can't really watch anything. Like, that's amazing.
Don't you enjoy just when you can let it go and let your mind...
Like, I haven't let it go in a long time. Yeah, that's the same thing with like...
When I find a good TV series, that's when I let it go and I just let the entertainment happen. Like the whole Breaking Bad, again, you know, you were saying earlier, the writing, directing, the acting, just superb. I mean, just this wonderful synergy of great people working together. And I never saw Malcolm in the Middle, so everyone was like, "Oh my gosh, you got to see this to see the polarity of Walt, this bad character versus his little
a comedy. He's a very funny man."
I shot him when he was on Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh really?
Yeah. He's a very
I shot the whole cast.
I think he's gonna walk away from Breaking Bad probably better than anyone else because he is such a character actor. He came in Malcolm in the Middle, and within I'd say halfway through the first season or after he won his first Emmy, nobody was going back going, "Oh, Malcolm in the Middle, look at him." No, he was like, "He's great at this. He's done a
they
lot
totally
of movies."
They totally forgot that he did Malcolm in the Middle.
And I think given another 2 years, I think Aaron Paul, who is amazing, but I think Aaron Paul is who Aaron Paul is. I think he's going to be that person forever. You saw the first trailer for his first movie, and he looks like the same thing. Bryan Cranston, 2 years from now, is going to be a different character.
Yeah, but you have to look at an actor's career to begin with, and I've been around enough of them. Like, it is that ups and downs, and it takes a certain show or a certain character to go, and then they might come down for another year or two, and it takes them a while. And it is that ups and downs of a career. It's the same thing you can say with a porn star, and you can say with a musician or whatever. But there is all the actors I've ever known, they always talk about, like, it's once they get that character, they just soak it all in because they know they're rare. They're he did a great job with that character, and he knows he probably knew he don't think he'll ever get that again.
See, I thought I loved the character, and when I was watching the last episode, the saddest thing, because I was just talking to Alex saying the smartest thing this kid could do is go away and don't be out, publicize yourself, but don't go out and do a movie, don't go to a TV show for a year. Sit on this, ride this train as long as you can, because everybody's going to be typecasting you. Halfway through the last episode, I watch it and I'm like, wait a second. This is his character now in a 2-hour movie behind a car. I'm like, what the? And I looked at Alex and I said, the exact thing. He's something like that. I said, the exact thing what I just said don't do. He just went and did. Get his agent on the phone. We need to talk.
No, but I don't know. Actor, I think, I don't care what I always say. I don't care what you do as an artist. Acting, photography, You got to have a career. Call no, me. I would say to everybody, call me in 30 years. After you've done something for 30 years, let's then have an opinion about it. Not for a year, not for one show, not for even 5 years, not even 10 years. Call me in 30 years.
I'll be 67. And it'll be...
Yeah, and you'll be doing Grandpa Blowjobs Volume 10.
Oh, you had to take that route. I knew that was where I was going. Well, on that note, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Andre, I really appreciate you coming out for another episode of More with Mo.
Thank you guys. We can talk
about TV all day long. Where can we find you out there in the social media world?
Twitter, at Andre Madness XXX.
That's a good name. Where'd you come up with that name at?
Same person who recommends the damn TV shows
Well, my name is Mo. This has been More with Mo. You can find me online at Twitter at Mox, M-O-triple-X, or you can find me on my blog, theaveragemo.com, where you can find all sorts of cool BTS shots from the shoots I work with. Thanks for listening.